This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Meghna Chakrabarty is out today. So does more school make a better school? You can make a pretty persuasive argument that it does. Research by Harvard and MIT found that Boston's best charter schools are getting some pretty impressive results. And one of the reasons why, these charter schools' students spend a lot more time in school, more than 8 hours a day on average, 2 hours more than at Boston's traditional public schools. Across the country, more than 1,000 schools have extended their school days. Of those, 90 are here in Massachusetts. And now a coalition of educators and policymakers says it's time to expand the movement for longer school days to all high-poverty schools within the next decade. It's an ambitious goal. It costs money. Teachers need to be paid for the extra work. And in this city, the teachers' union and the school department have been at odds for years about cost of living raises and pay for extended days. So how do we make all of this work? Joining me now is Chris Gabrielli. He's co-chair of the newly formed Time to Succeed Coalition, chairman of the National Center for Time and Learning, and co-founder and chairman of Massachusetts 2020, the organization that helped launch the state's expanded learning time initiative. Welcome to Radio Boston, Chris Gabrielli. Good to have you. Also with me, Richard Stutman. He's president of the Boston Teachers Union. Welcome to you, Richard Stutman. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Good. Good to have you. Chris Gabrielli, we've got plenty of time to lay out this argument in some detail, but let's start with a sort of quick, concise case for why it makes sense to extend the school days.
I think when schools do it well, there's three compelling things they can achieve with more learning time. First off, give kids the core academic skills they need to succeed, particularly a big challenge in our highest poverty schools. Second, make sure they have a well-rounded education. Math and English are critical. They're core. We should not lose science, we should not lose foreign languages, arts, music, drama, sports, you name it. And third, to give teachers more time to collaborate, to look at data, to revise and improve practice. So when those three things happen, one can see just huge gains, and not just charter schools. Here in Boston, for example, the Edwards Middle School is one of the most impressive district schools in America using expanded learning time to great effect.
Well, you mentioned the Edwards Middle School, and we're going to be hearing from Principal Leo Flanagan in just a moment. But it sounds like, Chris Gabrielli, that what we're saying here, what you're saying is, you know, upper middle class kids, wealthier school districts, private school kids, most of them have extra activities going on after the normal school day, whether it's music, sports, tutoring. So is this an effort to sort of level the playing field and bring these poorer school districts sort of into the game?
I think that's exactly right. I think for better or worse, upper middle class families in many cases have graduated from schools alone being that what they use. They have tutors in ever larger numbers. They have arts programs, sport, traveling town sports teams, et cetera, 3 hours of homework a night often. For many of those kids, sleep is the biggest problem, especially when you get to high school. For high poverty kids, you know, the public data says that the average African American child in America says they watch 5 hours of TV a day. Boston public middle schools get out at 1:30 in the afternoon. And I think, you know, we know kids can get into a lot of trouble, any kid, but particularly kids with the least supervision and the most risk in their lives. And so, you know, why not keep them in a building we've already paid for with public funds and engage them in things that will help them succeed rather than ask them to please be independent readers on their own at home.
So Richard Stutman of the Boston Teachers Union, I mean, obviously this has implications for your union membership. Longer school days means teachers are at work longer. You were a middle school math teacher. Let me just start with this very basic question. Does more school mean better school?
More school is better. It is not necessarily essential for every student, as Chris said. And by the way, I agree with just about everything Chris has already said. And I don't think there is any reason or I don't think there's much disagreement at all among our members that an extended school day with a wide variety of activities and academics as well as enrichments is a good thing. And we support that. I think the issue for us is twofold. We need to find a group of people like we have at the Edwards, and I'm glad you're going to have Leo on later, talk about what they do at the Edwards, which is to host a combination of nonprofits and teachers to provide needed services for kids at the Edwards building. And I think that is the direction to go in. And again, an extended day works. It just has to be well coordinated and thought out.
Well, what's the risk if it isn't? I mean, what specifically is the union concerned about? I mean, clearly you don't want to be asked to do work for free, right?
Well, that's
or
really
is that
part
too crass?
B. Okay. That's part B. It isn't too crass. It's correct. But the main issue for us is how long to extend the school day and who should be the providers. We proposed actually an extension of 3 hours. In every school in Boston, or enough schools so that we can have children within a local geographic area who will have a place to go after school to get both academics and enrichments, as well as to receive the services of the wealth of nonprofits that we have in the city, as we have at the Edwards, a whole group of people providing these services. So for us, it isn't a matter of we want to get paid for 3 hours to do that work. For us, it's to bring in a group of people, including teachers and non-teachers, to do that work.
But isn't, there have been contentious contractual negotiations with Boston Public Schools around the issue of extra time teaching. Isn't that an issue here as well?
Well, yes. The district offered us $0 for a half hour. Then they offered us $0 for 45 minutes. And if they could have offered us $0 for 3 hours, they would have done as well. That isn't the point. The point is we do have to get paid for the time. We have to figure out, first of all, how much time is necessary and what else can we do to extend the school day so that the children will have enough of a schedule after school, both for their own enrichment and also to match their parents' work schedule. We believe that is essential as well.
Chris Gabrielli, can you respond a little bit to what Richard's talking about there? Do those concerns sound like they can be addressed in your sort of grand vision here for expanding longer school days?
Well, I certainly agree, first off, that you know, I think the unit of time, and I think there's hard research that backs us up that kind of makes a big difference, is on the order of an hour and a half or 2 hours a day more, and 3 hours would be great too for a variety of reasons. I think smaller units are probably, you know, generally going to be less valuable. I think part of the key is to run it on a well-integrated basis. So I think the question of some students need individualized academic support, that's been shown to be the single best way to move academic skills, is not to have a longer period of student time, you know, in the classic school, you know, classroom, but rather to have individualized, down all the way to individualized tutoring support. There are other kids who don't need as much of that. Every kid deserves some enrichment, and I certainly agree with Richard that community-based providers can often be good partners, particularly for that enrichment. It has to be well-organized, well-scheduled. And I think, you know, there's no question that figuring out the logistics, the costs, and running it well, you know, is the challenge to go from great examples of success as we have here in Boston and in Massachusetts to making it just the new normal for all high-poverty kids. And that's the challenge in this next period of time, figuring out all those pieces and, frankly, getting it done.
Well, let's talk about some and all of those challenges. In fact, and listeners, the question to you is, do you favor longer school days for your kids? Have you seen it work? Do you have a kid in a school where longer school days are in effect? If so, how can we expand that model and make it available to every kid who needs it, particularly kids in low-income school districts? And how do we pay for it? That seems to be a huge, Chris Gabrielli mentioned challenge. That seems to be one of the big ones. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. So let's talk about an example and bring in Leo Flanagan. He's principal at the Edwards Middle School since 2010. And Leo Flanagan, good to have you.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
So back in 2005, the Clarence Edwards Middle School in Charlestown was one of the lowest performing schools in the city, on the verge of being shut down. Then it became part of the Expanded Learning Time Initiative and has gone through quite a dramatic turnaround. Why don't you give us a quick description of what's happened there?
Sure, that's a great question. So about 5 years ago, we had approximately 220 students in the building and the lowest test scores in the district. And the leadership at the time, including BTU union members and the principal at that time, got together with Chris and his group and wrote one of the original extended learning time applications, which allowed us, instead of ending at 1:30, we now end at 4:30. And the way that we use that time is from 1:30 to 2:30 is an additional hour where 70% of the teachers stay in combination with citizen schools and give our students an extra hour of academic intervention. And then from 2:30 to 4:30, We have about 25 different community groups come and help us to run a very expansive extended learning time program, and 40% of our students stay. So in that time, we've gotten bigger. We're up to around 600 kids. We haven't had any teachers leave for this. We've gotten more teachers sort of in concert with the additional students, but it's allowed us to have a lot more kids, a lot happier kids, and the test scores have really become some of the best in the city, and then growth-wise, some of the best in the state.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So test scores are now some of the best in the city, and give us some other sort of tangible improvements that you've seen, or even anecdotal improvements. I mean, how would you describe what has changed at the Edwards?
Sure. So some of the more tangible pieces is that we've reduced, as of last year, we reduced our warning levels in math in the sixth grade by 33%. Our eighth grade growth was the fourth highest in the state. Our sixth grade growth measurements by AYP was eighth highest in the state. But I think more importantly, a lot of times when people think about changing schools, they sort of wrap their hand around the wrong axle. They're always trying to improve schools that have in ways that have no meaning for the kids, who are sort of obviously the most important units. And I think part of what's driven our success here, Anthony, is that we've been able to improve the schools on one metric in terms of the state tests, but in another metric in terms of really motivating the kids and really changing it to be a school where kids want to go. People do all kinds of things to make schools better, but if they don't make them better for the kids, you can improve the uniforms, longer day, better testing for the teachers, and all this other stuff that we talk about. But are you making it a place that kids want to go? Are you making it a place? Kids are going to try to feel successful one way or the other. That's sort of the purpose of being in the middle school, is to try to feel successful. If we don't offer them opportunities to feel successful in school, they're going to find them someplace else.
And Leo, one more thing before I throw this open to callers, and I want to bring Chris and Richard back into this conversation. A moment ago, Chris Gabrielli obviously talked about the potential benefits to students, but he also talked about the potential benefits to teachers, that it's sort of more satisfying to be in a school like that and to have the time, the extra time to devote to their classwork and so on and so forth.
Sure.
Are you seeing that there as well?
Well, the teachers, I mean, obviously the kids are the ones who perform, but the amazing teachers that we have here are the reason why we're in the position that we're in. And we think that we have such great teachers because we give them a lot of time to prepare. They're given 42 minutes a day by their contract. We give them 80. We have another 2 hours of planning on Friday. And I think that one of the levers is good teachers having time together really is a very important piece in terms of turning around a school. Another piece is that these teachers, they just get to know these kids. I mean, there's something about seeing a student at 6:45 and then seeing that kid again at 4:30, and the child looks at you and says, okay, you know, I'm on board. Let's do this, because you become a family. You become part of that unit.
Well, Leo Flanagan, stand by if you would.
Sure.
Chris Gabrielli, how is this paid for? Can we talk specifically about the Edwards model? Because it costs extra money to do this, right?
Absolutely. And I think, thank you, Leo, for joining. I think you said one thing. You said 40% of the students stay till 4:30. I think you meant 40% of the teachers. All of the students stay.
Yeah.
I just say that, yeah.
Sorry.
And that's, the only reason I'm raising that is it's a really important piece that there's this misconception that every teacher needs stay. And as you could debate what the blend should be, but as Richard's highlighted, as the Edwards illustrates, they've got 70% of the teachers staying one more hour, 40% of the teachers staying another couple of hours. Those teachers are paid, and Richard can give you probably better than me the narrow specifics as well as the big picture. But the reason it can be afforded is the state has an expanded learning time initiative that provides funding to schools that convert to 30% more time for all students in the building,
mm-hmm.
and that $1,300 per year, which that school receives and others in Boston and across the state do, allows them to cover all of their expenses. And, you know, I think to get the funding side right, you got to use all the tools. You need to have staggered time for teachers so that some teachers start early and some start later. You need to pay some teachers an appropriate amount, whatever that is more outside of my bailiwick, but an appropriate amount. You need to use, I think, technology. There's a growing use of adaptive software where students can learn at their own pace and rate using software, which is very cost-effective and very personalized. And you need to use outside partners who often bring, you know, the Boston Ballet is one of many partners at the Edwards Middle School, and they bring a passion for that, you know, that no one else would, although many of the electives at the Edwards are taught by teachers who turn out to have interests in life other than math or English So, you know, that getting that blend right is the key.
And Richard Stutman, in terms of getting that blend right, how does your membership view this in terms of whether you're at the Edwards School, whether you're a teacher who stays late or doesn't? How has that worked out? Well, how is that negotiated? Who does what?
You know, the Edwards is a terrific model, and it's a very good lead for us. It's something that we've tried to emulate around the city, and we've done in small parts. There's vision, there's buy-in, and there's collaboration. The staff feels empowered. The staff is very prideful. And I will tell you, just one look at the Edwards, inside the Edwards, you see that the students themselves take a lot of pride and ownership of the building. That is a model that we would love to replicate. And I think led by Chris on the state level and now on the national level, and I think led by our collective bargaining, we are very comfortable with replicating the Edwards model to the extent we can. It has an ideal composition of staff and outside activity and outside providers. It has, as I said earlier, a vision, and it's something that we think ought to be replicated. And I think the proof is that people want to be there,
mm-hmm.
kids want to be there, and staff certainly want to be there.
So, Chris Grabulet, what's it going to take to replicate this? You stated this ambitious goal of extending longer school days to all schools in poor urban districts that really could use it, right, within 10 years. What's that going to take?
Well, I think first it takes the will to do it. And Boston is one of the leading places in the country for it because we've had a rich history here of success. But everywhere, I think making it a high priority is the first goal. I think secondly, using the most effective techniques to do it, the most effective techniques for students, to combining it with the other key levers, outstanding teachers and principal leadership, strong use of data. If you're not using a lot of data to drive your decisions about what the students are doing, then you're not doing the personalizing and learning we need. And developing a culture in schools that's really serious about high expectations and mutual accountability. When you see all of that come together, you see success. And I think part of what we all need to invent is formulas that work in large scale. So, you know, one of the things we're working on here in Boston is this I-3 federal funded grant for the extremely good results the Edwards has had. The federal government came and said, can you replicate it? But can you find some ways not only to replicate it at consistent success levels, but somewhat more cost effectively? And I think that's, you know, one of the keys to this next era. Although, by the way, just to be clear, at $1,300 per student, it's about 8%. 8 to 10% more for 30% more time. So it's pretty leveraged.
So it's a good return. It's a good return on the investment.
I think so. When you consider that, you know, that the transformation that's happened at the Edwards and some other schools,
yeah.
We seem to spend a lot without getting that kind of bang, you know, on other bucks.
800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're talking about longer school days, whether it's a good idea, how to pay for it, examples of what you've seen across Massachusetts. Give us a call, and let's go to Steve, who's calling from Andover. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
My mother was a teacher, my wife is a teacher, and I taught. And from my perspective, the purpose of education is to educate and is to provide a quality education to students. And I think when we start with that, we go very quickly to the conclusion that it's time to re-envision what we're doing in schools and extend the school day. Pay is, as you've raised, Anthony, certainly a factor, but we as teachers, or when I was a teacher, were professionals. And it should be the results, as in every profession, the results that lead. We're not hourly laborers. We need to drive a discussion. We need to focus on the results and extend the learning time that's available, extend the school day that's available to students across Massachusetts to make sure we're able to continue to lead this nation and lead this world in the industries that so much drive our economy.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for that comment. We'll take that on board and move on to a couple of other callers. Daniel is calling from Newton. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, hi. I'm a retired Boston teacher, most secondary level. And to me, extending the day is questionable in the sense that students that start school at 7:30, adolescents, all research shows that they are not that functional at that time. I mean, if school just started, if you shifted the day to go from 9:30 to 4, you would have less absenteeism, less truancy, and awake students in the classroom. And after lunch, classes are not very efficacious as it is the way I experience it.
So, Daniel, it sounds like you're saying rather than extending it, start it later and end it later, but sort of the number of hours overall would stay more or less the same.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, they're waiting for a bus at 6:30 in the morning. Of course, they have to primp and shower and all that before then.
Sure.
By the time they get to the classroom, you know.
Daniel, I'm going to cut you off just because we've got a beep on your line, but we appreciate the call and we take your point. Chris Gabrielli, what do you make of Daniel's point? Is part of the plan starting later or not?
Well, I don't think there's any question that when you look at adolescents, teenagers, there's pretty strong data that the circadian rhythm, and anyone who's got a teenager, I have four of them in my house, knows that they're not early risers.
Yeah.
It's quite different for elementary school kids who, you know, anyone who has
10 a.m. is early for an adolescent.
Right. And, you know, a lot of elementary school kids are up, whether it's a school day or not, at 6:30 or 7. So, you know, it is true that matching the circadian rhythm would be ideal. And I think that's something else to consider. So, you know, I think the real issue is always having the right amount of time. There's no one single magic formula. I think if you look at our urban school systems, our high-poverty school systems, where a third to a half the kids are dropping out, where relatively few kids are getting the skills they really need to succeed, I think it's hard to argue, and where almost none are getting the arts, music, drama, sports, tutoring, et cetera, outside of school, that schools need to do more for those students. And the only way to do that is to have more time. So I think that's, you got to match the time to what the students' needs are. Quite a different story in Newton.
Let's take a call from Allison, who's calling from Medway. Hi, Allison.
Hi, thank you. Great show. My concern is I hope that any extra time at school that is being proposed for the kids would be balanced out with the load of homework that is being asked of them. So I have some real concerns about the quantity of homework that is given anyway. But if that is that already heavy load is being tacked on to an even longer day of school, then I really worry about burnout and reduction in time for extracurricular activities and so on. And I'll take the comment off the air. Thank you.
Allison, it's a great point. And Leo Flanagan, let me come to you with that. I did want to raise this issue. I mean, I completely understand and appreciate that improving enrichment programs, especially in districts where kids can benefit from that. But is there a danger of what Allison is talking about, of loading these kids up with longer school days, more work? My God, when is there time for the family and so on and so forth?
Sure, that's a great question. I think the caller brings up a number of great points. With homework in general, I think a lot of us see this. I think that there's a misperception sometimes in school districts, and it's really couched in terms of making the parents happy, is that the amount of homework becomes a proxy for rigor, and you question just how useful this is or how attached it really is to learning. So what we talk about here is we know our kids are getting on a bus at 6:15 in the morning, they're getting it back off that bus at 6:15. We give them an hour of homework a night, sometimes even two, but we're super careful around it being super advantageous for the kids and really, really directed to the things that they're trying to learn. In terms of balancing out the time piece, our kids are in trouble. Our communities are in trouble, and we need to have this time to do the learning. So we're a little out of balance, but I think in some ways we need to be.
Hmm. Richard, I'm wondering if you're and Chris, too, I'm interested in how we ended up with the system that we have. I mean, that is schools beginning at 7:30 or 8 and ending at somewhere between 1:30 and 2:30. What's the sort of the thinking behind that?
Well, in Boston, we have some schools that start at 7. We have some schools that start at about 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the difference is because of the bus schedules and the fact that the buses must accommodate three different levels, meaning three different start times. There is no logical reason that adolescents start school at 7:15 as opposed to 8:15 or 9:15. I think there is a reason for high school kids to get out early to participate either in work activities or in sports. But having said all that, this is all it should be a fluid situation. I think Dan's comment about the school day being flexible with a different start time is a good point. Obviously, it's not mutually exclusive to extending the school day, and perhaps a combination of both would be most appropriate.
Sarah Souza writes on RadioBoston.org, would parents, and Chris Gabrielli, I'll ask you to answer this, would parents have the authority to opt out of the extra-long school day on behalf of their children? When do the well-meaning intentions of school districts begin to become infringements on our freedom of choice as families?
Well, that's, the expanded learning time schools in America that go to that schedule. That's the schedule of the school.
Sure.
Let's be really clear. It's just a school with a different schedule. So, no, there's no opting out within those schools. And especially as you get to children at, say, the middle school age level, if you ask kids at the end of the day how many of you want to stay to do more academics or even more enrichment, you know, you're lucky if 10% say yes. So, I mean, schedules matter. I do think that, you know, one of the reasons you hear different perspectives in the suburbs is kids do have a lot of outside of school activities. They do have a lot of homework, per the question that was asked about homework. Unfortunately, in a lot of urban settings, you see very little homework assigned, often because it's just difficult to get it completed, or at least that's the perception, and very little access to activities. And so the school day becomes, in many cases, really the learning day for those kids. I do think that it's clear that parents value this. The Edwards has grown almost threefold, more than twofold, since it went to the expanded learn time schedule and had the results. Many of the charters and other schools that offer an extended day have long waiting lists. So they often are in environments where parents have choice across other schools, so probably there is some parental choice happening.
Chris Gabrielli, co-founder and chairman of Massachusetts 2020, which in conjunction with the state launched the Massachusetts Expanded Learning Time Initiative in 2005. He's also chairman of the National Center for Time and Learning. Chris Gabrielli, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Richard Stutman, president of the Boston Teachers Union, thank you very much for coming in as well. And Leo Flanagan, principal at Edwards Middle School, thank you. Congratulations for the results you've had there, and thanks for joining us today. We wish you all the best.
Thanks so much, Anthony.
And listeners, the conversation continues at radioboston.org. You can post your comments there. Stay with us, Aretha Franklin, sung by a man. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.